325.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have our second listener roundtable, and I'd say annual listener roundtable, but the last one occurred 4 years ago in 2009. Chris, who did we feature then?
Well, a bunch of names, Gene, that we don't see around the forums anymore. Brandon D., Dusty, Farusha, good old Skyler, who pops in occasionally from time to time, and Skunk Ape, that smelly guy.
Yeah, interesting about how things change and how those people disappeared. I hear from one or two of them by email, but I think, and I'm going to ask all of you this as we go on, that when you're an active, intense participant in a forum, after a couple of years, you sort of burn out. And then, of course, some of us, of course, we ban you. Like, for example, we have somebody online now, whom we'll introduce in a moment, who has been banned at least once, but that's true for another guest we had recently, our resident skeptic, Lance Moody. He's been banned, I think, twice. And amongst our crew, and I'll introduce them, they'll be known by their usernames and their first names. Whether they want to give you their last name is up to them. We have Sanden Fire, who's Jeff. I'm going to have to ask him how he got that name. We have Randall, known as Ufology. And we have Pixel Smith, known as Dean. And we have Gog Smacky, whose first name is Gordon. And Gordon, I want to welcome you from your home in the UK. And you've got just a great accent. I just enjoy listening to you. How did you get the name Gogsmack?
Well, actually, I've never corrected anyone to date about this, but my second name is actually pronounced Mackay, as in, you know, your eye. So my name is Gordon Mackay, but I don't know how it came about, but in my area of Scotland, if your name is Gordon, you automatically have the nickname Gogs. So there were three Gogses when I was at high school, so I'm Gogs Mackay, and I've been that since I've been about 5 years old.
So it's Gogs Mackay.
Mackay, yeah.
Okay, not guy Gogsmacked or something like that.
No.
Okay, at least we got that straightened out. Now, Pixel Smith we understand because Dean is a graphic artist, and therefore some of us writers are wordsmiths, so a graphic artist is Dean a Pixel Smith, right?
That's correct.
Okay. We'll go for that. Are you the one who was banned once or twice, by the way?
Yes, I've been banned twice.
I don't think I banned you. Or did I?
I think David banned me, and I don't remember who banned me the other time.
Okay.
We won't get into why.
Also, Ufology, Randall, you were banned once, weren't you?
Not from this forum, but from another one that some of the missing people started, actually. I still am not able to post there, and I got into it there with some of the people, and that's a long story. Who, I guess we probably shouldn't get into that right now.
If it's somebody else's forum, we don't care.
Yeah, I've had a really good time with the Paracast, and I'd really like to see more people participating, actually, and I hope that we can elicit some more responses and some more people from out there who aren't participating to get on there and put in a few words.
Well, the one thing here is we have the worldwide audience. I mean, amongst our crew today, we have someone in Scotland, we have someone in Canada, and the rest in the USA. Although some of you may be on a spaceship. I wouldn't know, right? You know, that could happen. Now, one of the things we do when we start the Paracast, and we might as well do it since we have this extra crew of four with Randall, Jeff, Dean, and Gordon, and that is, we do a little bit of a wrap-up of the previous week's show. And certainly the reaction to Werner Bach has been, shall we say, interesting. And I'm going to ask each of you in turn what you thought about him and about maybe some of the lack of logic in his presentation. I have a problem with that. I think he may have had some real experiences, but he's been so spooked by it over the years that he's lost perspective and objectivity. And so he imagines all sorts of conspiracy theories, I think he needs to get a life. I think he needs to get a social life, not be stuck out there in the wilderness or whatever and not have friends or family members to deal with. But that doesn't mean that someone didn't kill his cattle or cause the mutilations or things like that. Randall, what was your reaction?
Well, my first reaction was that when I found out we were going to be starting with Werner Brock, I was, oh, man, now I'm going to actually have to listen to this show. From a ufology perspective, cattle mutilations are a fringe topic and fall under the general heading of ufology studies and the connection between animals with UFOs. Personally, I haven't spent much time researching them. My closest involvement was to look over some pictures that were provided to me by a friend back in the 1990s of some mutilations that had happened on his parents' ranch. And so I tend to share some of your sentiments, but I'm not as much of an expert in that area as, say, someone like Chris would be. I think Chris might be better qualified to make some real, more in-depth commentary there.
Chris, you've been elected.
Well, I first became aware of Werner's case through Ted Oliphant, who many of our listeners may remember was the chief of police in Fife, Alabama, in the late 80s, early 90s, and he had to investigate around 200 cases that occurred there in that part of Alabama. He was pretty convinced that there was a helicopter connection, that there was some sort of potential biological experiments that may have been going on. And through his work there, I think that's how Werner found out about him and contacted him. And Ted was working with him for quite a number of years, at least trying to advise him, get him to, you know, bring in experts, veterinary pathologists, law enforcement, and that sort of thing. And Werner, when I first talked to him, he contacted me initially, although I had known about his case. He was one of the few cases that I've encountered that does not have a high strange element to it, or an element to it that can't be explained with, you know, present-day mundane technology, if indeed these cases are real, which I think the jury is still out. But he did strike me as being very sincere and very dedicated to finding out what had happened to his animals and why he had been targeted. And unfortunately, his case is very, very complicated, and there's a lot of ins and outs that go into his particular case. And I don't think he represented his 40-year odyssey or 30-plus-year odyssey very well in a two-hour radio format. So I don't think we should completely discount Werner's account and his story. I think the guy's gone through a lot. There's something at the core of the case. What it is, I really am in no position to really judge.
Okay, Jeff, what's your reaction to Werner?
In my experience, and I have to be honest here, I've only listened to about a quarter to a half of the episode so far, but in my experience, when paranormal activity has occurred, this wide ranging of activity has occurred around one person, then I tend to get a little suspect about that person's emotional status. Now, if you're talking about something like the Gordon Ranch, the Skinwalker Ranch episode, where you have multiple witnesses and, as Chris said, the high strangeness all going on in one location, to me that adds a little bit of credibility to the stories that come out of the case. But when you have somebody like Werner, who he's the sole, it seems like the sole source, from what I understand, of the activity, then I'm a little suspect about his sort of central perspective on what's going on around him.
Goggs, what was your take on it?
Well, I have to confess as well, I only got about a third of the way through the show, probably because I couldn't really follow it, Werner very well. He seemed to be going off on tangents. I kind of got the idea that both yourself and Chris weren't following him. He reminded me of the episode with Aaron Kaplan, who just seemed to be weaving, you know, all sorts of fringe paranormal topics together into something. I'm not saying that's the case with him, but he did seem to. Did he say that something like around a half of his cattle were mutilated?
He said, Goggs, over 300, and that's got to be astounding. Before we get to anything else,
not mutilated. Those are deaths, Gene.
Those are deaths.
Only
okay.
17 actually were mutilated.
Okay. We have our listener roundtable with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You know, for many of us, so much of our jobs are tied to our office computers. We have networks, special programs, important files. You feel chained to your office just to be productive. Well, here's some good news. There is a better way. It's one I've used myself. It's called GoToMyPC. It's a secure remote access tool from Citrix that turns any computer, tablet, or smartphone into your office computer. How about that? With GoToMyPC, you can access your entire network, use any program, save, edit, send any file from anywhere. Don't even need to worry about those flash drives. My listeners, by the way, can try GoToMyPC free for just 30 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code podcast. Then download the free app to your mobile device. That's GoToMyPC.com. The promo code is podcast.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNLive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Feeling like there are too many pressures and demands on you? Losing sleep, worrying about tests and schoolwork, eating on the run because your schedule is just too busy? You may be under too much stress, and it may be affecting your mind. Get your mental edge back with Nootropic Mind Power from MindRegard.com. Nootropic Mind Power is not a drug, but a natural supplement. Its 12 powerful ingredients are natural and non-GMO, plus it's gluten-free, wheat-free, and formulated by Americans for Americans by an NSF-certified laboratory. Nootropic Mind Power is available at MindRegard.com, spelled MindRegard.com, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Free your mind with Nootropic Mind Power cognitive supplement from MindRegard.com. Mind Regard. Clearly see tomorrow and yesterday. Today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris, we have our second listener roundtable 4 years after the first, and hopefully these participants won't suddenly disappear from the forums, and we'll do this more often. Our guests are Jeff, Randall, Dean, and Gordon. We're discussing reactions to Werner Bock, who had cattle mutilations, lost over 300 cattle to death, the authorities saying it's because of his neglect. But you think the guy's been doing this for 40 years or so. If he is guilty of neglect, why would they wait all these years? I don't know. Kind of weird. Dean, what's your take?
Well, I have to admit also, I listened to the whole podcast, but I had clients coming in and out, so I missed a lot of it. I'm kind of on the fence about mutilations of cattle. I think a lot of that is natural, but I have to admit that Chris's research is quite interesting. I almost turned the guy off until I heard him say, mentioned Agenda 21. Of course, my ears perked right up on that. I think that he does have valid concerns about Agenda 21 creeping into the rural areas especially. But pretty much everything else, I think I shared Gene's sentiments on that.
All right, Agenda 21. Tell our listeners what that means to them, if anything.
Well, that could take a while. Agenda 21 is actually being implemented via ICLEI, International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, and it's all about the sustainability, environmental movement. I've seen things happening in this city that fall right under the master plan of Agenda 21 to just change cities to be more sustainable. I've noticed
we're talking about something that's environmentally related or something with regard to renewable energy. What?
Yeah, it's so complex. I don't think we can even adequately discuss it in this roundtable. I've noticed in this city, it's more implemented in the structure and layout of the city. They're going to more high density housing. They seem to be wanting to create traffic congestion in our downtown area. And I think that's done to try to get fewer cars downtown.
They've been doing that in New York City for years, making it impossible to drive. Without giving too much away, do you want to tell us what city we're talking about?
Rochester, Minnesota.
Okay, so we're talking about a medium-sized city.
Yeah, we have about 110,000 people.
Okay, and it's deliberate on their part, make it difficult for people to use their cars, especially downtown.
Yeah, exactly.
The question I have, though, is how would that impact somebody living in the wilderness in Canada?
Well, on the other end, they seem to be making it more difficult for farmers and people living in rural areas. There's lots of different hoops that the farmers nowadays have to jump through. And a lot of farmers in this area are shutting down their farms and selling out to bigger corporations.
Well, the family farm is pretty much obsolete, isn't it?
Well, not in this area.
Not really, but they're sure trying to make it that way.
Yes, they are. I deal very closely with a dairy farm. I do all their design work and packaging materials and things like that. And it's every time I speak to him, he just looks a little more drained and beat up from all the regulations that they have to adhere to.
So it's like a corporate plot where the large corporations want to take over everything. And it's not just farms, it's any kind of business. Where are the family businesses anymore?
Correct, yes.
Any other reaction? Let's ask Randall. What do you think?
I don't know much about the Agenda 21. I think it was supposed to be overseen by the United Nations. So it's a multinational effort. And when you get the bigger corporations in there and large bureaucratic structures like the UN and national governments, there's going to be these hoops that you have to jump through. But I think the overall intent is probably okay. It's just a matter of people learning how to adjust and make it work out to everyone's benefit.
Any other reaction to Agenda 21?
Well, one of the things also in Rochester that they're doing as far as energy conservation is they're replacing the lights in all of the traffic signals with these little LED lights. And unfortunately, they don't get hot enough to melt any snow that blows on them. So they're not saving any money at all because they have to send crews around to clean the snow out of the lights of all these traffic signals in town. And it's a considerable waste of money. So it's things like that just drive me crazy in this city. And they've eliminated, like, right turn lanes with these curb bump outs that jut out into the intersection. So only one lane can proceed. And if you want to turn right, and you've got pedestrians walking through all the way through until the light turns again, nobody can turn right. And it just makes a huge congestion downtown around the Mayo Clinic.
Well, the other thing here is, too, what about public transportation? Do you have much public transportation there?
Oh, yes. And they've created the bike lanes all over town, and unfortunately people are getting run over in them. And the buses drive me crazy because they've got these big signs on the back. You have to yield to them no matter what. And they pretty much control the downtown. They'll run right over you if you get in their way.
I'd like to comment on this. I live in a small town in northern Indiana. And when I say small town, I want to say we have probably around 25,000 people here, maybe a little bit more. But our mayor has initiated all of this as well. Everything that Dean is talking about, we've done the bump outs and things like that. My personal opinion, I've taken a couple of college courses that have talked about sustainability and environmentalism and things like this, and global warming, and it's, of course, it's been from a perspective that all of this is happening and that it's man-made. So I think that this is the philosophy behind Agenda 21. The idea is that people are going to get used to these changes. They're going to rely more on public transportation.
Well, having grown up on the streets of Brooklyn, I know all about public transportation. I rode the subways, I rode the buses, and all that stuff. Yes, indeed. A reminder, you can participate in our forums, too. That's where our guests come from at forum.theparacast.com. Our listener roundtable continues with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hey, neighbors, got a small business or a large company that needs to be online 24/7? Well, here's the little secret. To make sure your site is always online, you need world-class DNS service from Dyn. That's D-Y-N. For years, Dyn has been helping companies ranging from the scrappy young startup to the giant media moguls of the world with making sure websites are fast and always available and that your emails are getting delivered. DYN. Get faster internet by using Dyn for DNS. Visit dyn.com/podcast30. Fill out the contact form or start shopping right away and save 30% by using the promo code podcast30 at checkout. Again, visit dyn.com. That's dyn.com/podcast30. Check them out today.
I have been asked to announce that federal judge Walter J. Skinner has confirmed that most gasoline vehicles will get 22% more miles per gallon with a low-cost automotive accessory called Platinum 22, which meets or exceeds its own fuel-saving claims. To learn if Platinum 22 will give you 22% more miles per gallon, you should call 1-800-LESS-GAS or 1-800-537-7427.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-537-7427. 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Looking back on 2012, we ask ourselves, how did we ever survive from natural disasters like Hurricane Sandy and the devastating summer drought to the family hardships brought on by a disastrous economy? Our hearts go out to those that have lost everything. At eFoods Direct, we hear from customers every day that are fortunate enough to weather life's storm by having a supply of food on hand. After Hurricane Sandy, Danny from New York City wrote, "Almost all of the grocery stores are closed, but I managed to get my eFoods just in time to be able to help my sister and niece. It is better to be prepared 10 years too early than one day too late. I can warn you, but I can't feed you." Heed the warnings and do what Alex has done. Call 800-409-5633 today or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and build your food supply. It's the best tasting non-GMO long-term storable food on the planet. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
With Gene and Chris, we have a listener's roundtable. We're talking about Agenda 21, which is, I guess, recognizing changes that are to be considered or made because of global warming, because we want to be environmentally savvy, politically correct, whatever. We're talking to Jeff Randall, Dean Gordon, Gene and Chris. Jeff, you were saying?
Yeah, I was just kind of, I guess, giving a positive perspective on Agenda 21 and the intentions behind it, the environmentalism, the sustainability, trying to lower the carbon effect and the warming effect of major cities, major metropolitan areas. The idea is to build up and not out when you're talking about these cities. And I've seen models where they've had skyscrapers with trees and patches of grass on top to try to lower the sunlight albedo and reflection and things of this nature. So I shy away from the idea that Agenda 21 is this major governmental conspiracy where the government and big corporations are trying to take over the world, although that might be the case with the Walmarts and all that good stuff. And as you were talking about, the farmers being bought out by conglomerations of farming communities and what have you. You know, I've studied this in school, in a couple of college classes, so I understand a little bit more the philosophy behind it. It can be frustrating. Our mayor took a lot of heat from the bump outs and everything that that Dean was talking about earlier, so I can understand that perspective too. But so that's sort of my take on it.
Now, there's been a lot of debate, of course, about global warming and whether it's man-made or a natural occurrence or a combination. And when I was listening to you guys talk, especially Dean and Jeff, I was thinking of a book that we discussed on the Paracast several years back called Science Was Wrong, written by Stanton Friedman and Kathleen Martin, but amongst other things, they did not believe in man-made global warming. And we've had active discussions on this in the Paracast forums, and I'd like Dean to express his point of view before we go on.
I don't believe that humans have caused any significant warming to the planet. It's basically that simple.
Now, I have to tell you, folks, in the forums, there have been intense discussions about this. And we'll go round robin and get opinions and continue with the discussion. Okay, Dean, you think there's no evidence. What about the fact that the vast majority of the climate scientists believe that mankind, humankind, whatever, is a contributor?
I don't believe that there's a consensus. If you look into that a little closer, you'll find that the consensus that they're going by does not include a lot of climate scientists, and it boils down to, I think, just a small handful of the 3,300 scientists or whatever they're talking about. It boils down to, I think, something like 40 or 60 scientists that actually believe what they're saying.
Well, can I chime in here? I just was speaking with Clifford Mahoudi, who's been on the show a couple of times, and Zuni is frozen almost down to 2 feet. Everybody's pipes are freezing. I've been really cold here in my trailer. It's the coldest winter we've had here in the central, sort of north-central part of Arizona and the Four Corners. The San Luis Valley is breaking records. They've had over 44 below zero Fahrenheit up there. So, you know, if there is such a thing as global warming, I think the planet has a self-regulating system, some sort of thermostat that's going to put the kibosh on it. A single volcano can put more carbon into the air than a number of years of human output. So, you know, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about global warming and, you know, the actual amount of, you know, responsibility that humans have. Obviously, we're not helping, but, boy, I'll tell you, Gene, it's been cold up here, man. It's, like, really cold this winter. It's the coldest since the, I think, early to mid-80s.
But isn't this thing about global warming the fact that climate will be more extreme? It's not that you have a general warming trend, but it is more extreme. And supposedly the surveys show a gradual total warming, even if you do have these situations. Let's get some other reaction to that. Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd like to point out that there's a difference between local climate change and global warming. And we did study that. Again, when I say we studied, the classes I took were slanted towards man-made global warming, which I'm not agreeing with, but they did emphasize that local climate change, you are going to have colder temperatures where people aren't really accustomed to it. Another effect was supposed to be more severe storms, not more severe storms, but the storms that we do have are supposed to be more severe. So, like this, the superstorm that we had last month could be a case for local climate change and the global warming effect and things of that nature. But my personal opinion on it is I think that sustainability and good environmentalism are good causes, whether or not the globe's warming up and whether or not it's man-made or if it's a natural process. I think that we should take care of our environment and excel at allowing it to propagate so that it's here for future generations and not just mess it all up for just because we're greedy or we want more oil or coal and don't want to come up with alternative technologies. But that's my opinion there.
Goggs, what do you think?
Well, I have a couple of issues with the whole global warming thing. I'm actually kind of on the fence about it, but I would imagine we're talking about since the Industrial Revolution, since man's been pumping out, you know, such and such gases, this is the time. But compared to geological time, you know, the last 250 years is a blip, and we don't have, you know, up to the year, up to the month data for all the time before that. And also, we don't have, like, a control planet Earth that, you know, that we could see what would have happened in the last 250 years had we not had the influence we have. So there isn't really any way to tell, and it probably, if it's going to happen, it'll be too late to do anything about it by the time you can prove that it has happened. And I suppose that's where I stand on it all.
We'll go for that. What about you, Randall?
Well, since the advent of the Industrial Revolution, we have been putting a lot of CO2 into the atmosphere. And since the advent of jet aviation, we've been putting a lot of water into the upper atmosphere, which is a far more effective greenhouse gas. Logic would suggest that those two factors alone mean that there must be some effect. I guess what we really have to identify is how much of an effect. if we put a little bit more insulation in our attic, our house is bound to be a little bit warmer. Environment Canada up here is now adjusting its standards for seasonal norms, and the overall trend is up. So whether it's man-made or natural or a combination of both, it seems like it is taking place. And I'm seeing sort of a switch in the general attitude from just one or the other to, well, it's taking place and we have to do something about it.
Good point.
I think it comes down to a lot of the money that's being spent. I mean, if it does come out to be proven that it's a man-made phenomenon, that we are accelerating it, then you're looking at all of the bureaucracy, the governments, and the big businesses that have to spend how many millions or billions of dollars to try to correct it and or reverse the process. So that's where a lot of the heart of the argument lies, I believe, is if it's man-made, then we have to spend all this money to do something about it. And, of course, the governments and a lot of the businesses, they're not going to want to spend that money to do that. They're not going to want to put filters on their smokestacks and you know, retool their massive factories and all of the regulations on our motor vehicles and things like that. You're going to even have private individuals that are going to have to change their ways to try to correct global warming. But if it's a natural effect, then why spend all the money when it's going to happen anyway? So it all comes down to money. It all comes down to how much do we have to be inconvenienced and how much cash are we going to have to throw at the problem to try to get it fixed.
Maybe we can look at motivations in our next segment, why governments would want us to believe there is man-made global warming. And not woman-made, just man-made. But now we have to take care of, well, a piece of business, of course. Our listener roundtable continues with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
I have been asked to announce that federal judge Walter J. Skinner has confirmed that most gasoline vehicles will get 22% more miles per gallon with a low-cost automotive accessory called Platinum 22, which meets or exceeds its own fuel-saving claims. To learn if Platinum 22 will give you 22% more miles per gallon, you should call 1-800-LESS-GAS or 1-800-537-7427.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Is 2013 your year to achieve more? More vitality? More health? More well-being? Hi, this is Pastor Jenny. For 25 years, I spent my life's work teaching others how to achieve more. But in 2010, I got a lesson of my own about RNA drops. I learned that there are millions of gene switches latent in every single cell of my body that are waiting for an activator. I learned by taking RNA drops, I could begin to activate that power in my cells and achieve the more that I desire. I'd like to share what I discovered with you and send you a free 30-day supply of RNA drops valued at $50 for just the cost of shipping and handling. Go to rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call me toll free at 888-577-3703. That's 888-577-3703. rnafreesample.com. Discover the more that's waiting for you.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris, we're joined by Jeff, Randall, Dean, and Gordon, discussing now a lot of the issues that come up in our forums, particularly global warming, and I think Chris was champing at the bit for a comment. Chris?
I think one thing that we all have to kind of bear in mind here is that we have China is rapidly approaching the 21st century. I forget the number of coal-fired plants that are coming online every week, but you have the emerging third world countries that are starting to build coal-fired plants and pump a lot of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. And we say, well, you have to do it right and this and that. And they said, well, for the last 150 years, you guys haven't, so why should we? And that's a good point, I think. I do agree that. That if there's some way to try to lessen our carbon footprint, that we should do it. But I think the planet's going to have a lot more to say about this than science possibly in many ways is going to give science credit. I think if we do see an increase of fresh water and the decrease of salinity in the oceans, it's going to slow down and stop some of the large thermal conveyor belts of water that bring warm water from the equators to the poles. And this could actually trigger an ice age. So the planet, it seems to me, is a self-regulated system. And we just have to be aware that what we think we're going towards might end up actually being the opposite. We might actually be triggering an ice age because of global warming.
Let me throw out the question then that rises. Would anyone in this crew think that maybe UFOs are here to warn us, to make us think about what's going on, to warn us of what's going on, and to alert us to change our ways? Anyone want to jump in?
I don't believe that to be the case. And we need to remember that in 1970s, Ice Age was the looming threat.
Where'd that go?
Right. There was no significant cooling after they made those statements. They changed to a new threat, the depleting ozone. Then that didn't seem to be any threat, so they changed it to global warming.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Dean. Where's the advantage to a government saying there is global warming, we've got to do something about it? How do they profit? How do they benefit?
Well, they tried the whole carbon trading scheme, and that seems to be fizzling out.
Yeah, but what's the benefit? How do they benefit from doing that?
Well, it's money and control.
Okay, so the governments get money? The governments get control? I would think private industry, the companies who build the pollution preventative machinery or whatever, those are the ones who will benefit, but how would the government benefit?
Well, I think the people that are involved with these types of new industries that are spawning off it are probably involved at higher levels of government. Look at Al Gore. He tried the carbon trading company. He indicated that the seas were going to rise, 20 feet, and at the same time, he's buying homes on the oceanfront. So it didn't really make sense to me.
So in your case, so you're saying then that Al Gore simply wanted to profit from it. Chris?
Yes, absolutely.
Jeff, go ahead, please.
I was just going to make a comment. I think that governments can use it as a excuse to raise taxes, to tunnel money into the science and other programs like that to try to do these researches. There were a lot of scientists who got major government grants because they were pro global warming and, well, we need to study this more, and so we're going to need a couple of $100,000 to be able to study this. So global warming was a moneymaker for a lot of people. For auto manufacturers and other manufacturing companies, of course, it was a money taker. So you had a shift of finances going from businesses and a lot of times being funneled through government, and government, of course, took their share off the top, I think.
If you take your share, what do you do with it? Hire more people? Right now we're in a climate where government is being cut down. I mean, in the last 3 or 4 years, I think over 500,000 government workers have been fired.
You can hire more people, or you can give the people that are already on the payroll raises. So,
okay, but where has that happened? Raises.
That I don't know.
Nobody's doing that now. I mean, the way the climate is now, the political climate, no one wants to hire more government workers. Therefore, government workers are losing their jobs. Salary increases are minimal. So I fail to see. I can see where private industry benefits. That would make sense anytime you have a concerted program to do something, to change something. People will take advantage of it with their products or services. But if governments are being stagnated, they don't have the budgets anymore, they're cutting down, where is their benefit to this?
Well, if I could interject there briefly, the most obvious one is with the whole carbon trading credits program that's out there, where the governments of the different countries that are involved around the world assess all this and decide which countries have to pay other countries huge amounts of money to make up for their contribution to their carbon footprint.
Yeah, but this doesn't even make sense to me, trading money. How does that clean up the environment if you just hand somebody a check?
Oh, I agree with you completely, Gene. I'm just saying that that's where it is.
No, I know where it is. It just doesn't make sense. Yeah. There's no logic behind it. Like, for example, there's a company that we know about that's a web host. They have a data center in Kansas, and they claim to be environmentally safe. How are they environmentally safe? Because they pay carbon credits to somebody. Well, it doesn't make them use less electricity. It doesn't make them to have more efficient power. All they're doing is playing paper.
Well, actually, I think it actually contributes to it, because what's happening is that the countries that contribute less of a carbon footprint are the ones who are receiving the money for their industrial development. So it really is counterproductive in a way, in my opinion. But I can see where that's where the governments could benefit, not necessarily the people, and not necessarily making the environment a safer place, as you've just pointed out.
There you go. Speaking of governments, every so often we have to raise the D word, disclosure. And I think most of us on the PowerCast have said we don't believe it. Let's ask our listener roundtable, Cox, what do you think?
Yeah, there's no real incentive for any government to disclose. And I think it's Chris that quite often says, disclose what? We don't even know at what any government might or may not know. Most of us probably would agree if one government was going to know the most, it would probably be the United States or Russia, considering, the geographical size. I also agree with Richard Dolan. He says that it can't happen, but it must happen. And I think the way, if it will happen, it might come somehow through WikiLeaks or just by sheer volume of persuasion of numbers of people on the internet, because the internet seems to be, in the past, you could maybe control the press and the 6 o'clock news on television and keep this stuff out. Certainly in the UK, the government can slap on any broadcaster what's called a List D notice, which basically says you could go ahead with this story, but it might be in against the national security interest. So no one ever goes against these things, but now there's so much more avenues for news to get to people. We all know there's so many useless fake UFO videos on YouTube, but there's going to be a percentage that are real, and I'm sure that more people are going to be exposed to this than there would have been when in the past you saw the odd documentary in a decade, or you would have to pick up a UFO book itself. So I certainly think more people in the world are being exposed to the possibility of a UFO reality. I certainly hope so. I was just actually reading a piece by Nick Redfern on the Mysterious Universe site about some couple of security guards who saw a UFO over our GCHQ building, which is Britain's equivalent of the NSA at Fort Meade, and I actually worked there for a short time, and I had no idea, you know, this was a big deal in the 90s.
God, what were you doing over there? What kind of job did you have?
Well, I was in signals intelligence in the Royal Navy, and they have, there's what's called the Joint Service Signals Unit, JSSU, that occupies one kind of wing of this donut-shaped building, and we would just be intercepting, you know, all kinds of signals, voice, data, whatever.
We'll have to go into much more of this. We've got a lot more to discuss. And our guest list includes Gogs McKay, I think I got it right this time, Dean, better known as Pixel Smith, Randall, known as Ufology, Jeff, who is known as Sand and Fire, with Gene and Chris, known as Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains their monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.